Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we are going to be discussing the following hot topic, where James, the half-brother of Jesus, declared that faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Kind of sounds like James is saying what? That you're saved by faith plus works. Because if you have faith but no works, your faith is dead. Is that what James was saying? Well, please open your Bibles and let's go to James chapter 2. This is a chapter that I think trips up a lot of believers. Believers who understand that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And believers have heard that, believers believe that, and then suddenly they come across James chapter 2, and they start to stumble. Why? Because verse 26, at the end of this chapter, James says, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Huh. Many people say. Is James saying that it's not salvation by grace alone, but rather by grace and your works? Not by faith alone, but by faith and your works? Not by Christ alone, but rather by Christ and your works? Is that what James is saying? In fact, as people read even the context, starting up in verse 14, James says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but has no works, can that faith save him?" Huh. Verse 17, James says, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." Oh. And over in verse 24, James says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." Again, was James teaching that you're saved by grace and works, faith and works, Christ and works, as the Roman Catholic Church teaches, as the Orthodox Church teaches? No. We have to understand our context. Now, it's very clear that James was not teaching salvation is by faith plus works, because he says over in verse 10 of the same chapter, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." Right? So it's very clear, just in verse 10, that James is not saying that you can earn your salvation through your good efforts and your good works. Because again, James says, look, you can keep the whole law, and if you just stumble it in one point, you're guilty of it all. In other words, the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is what? Death. Notice the wages of sin, not sins, plural. One sin, punishment, eternal damnation. That's what James is saying here also. And so we know that James is not teaching salvation is by faith plus your works. Because again, in verse 10, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all," right? And then he says, verse 11, "For he, God, who said, do not commit adultery, also said, don't commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you commit murder, guess what? You become a transgressor of the whole law. Do you see what James is saying there? It's impossible for us to earn our salvation through our good efforts, through our good works. Because We cannot follow God's law perfectly. We all stumble more than just one time, right? We stumble constantly. We are guilty transgressors in the sight of a holy, righteous, and just God who must punish sin. And this punishment of sin, again, is eternal damnation. So, we need to understand, same author, James, same letter, the book of James, same chapter, chapter 2. James makes it clear. If you want to try to earn your salvation by keeping the law, great. But just be aware, you can keep it all, and you stumble just at one point, you're guilty of it all. You see? So, then we come down to verses 14 through 26, where James suddenly seems to be almost changing his mind. We're up in verse 10, he says, you can't keep the law perfectly. You stumble in one area, you're guilty of it all. Then he comes over to verses 14 through 26, and it almost sounds like, okay, place your faith and trust in Christ, plus you've got to do works to kind of finish the job, and the combination of both, your faith and works, that's what saves you. That's not what he's saying. Again, we have to understand the context. James is writing to an audience who, unfortunately, they were caught up in easy believism. I believe in Jesus. Check. I'm okay. And I can live the rest of my life here on earth any way I want. Because I said a prayer to Jesus, or I filled out a card and all that stuff. Easy believism. Just say the magic prayer, you're in, and then you can live any way you want the rest of your life here on earth. James was rebuking that type of, quote, faith, unquote. That's the audience he was writing to. Cheap grace, easy believism, which unfortunately was not just a problem back then. We unfortunately see that problem big time in modern Christianity, right? People who went forward on an altar call, filled out a card, raised their hand, had an emotional moment, and they prayed to Jesus. But there's no evidence, no fruit, no works that show that that person truly was regenerated. That person is truly a new creation. They simply gave lip service to Jesus, and the evidence of that is there are absolutely no works or fruit of the Spirit to show that that person is truly saved. That's who James is addressing. And we know that because verse 14, he says, what use is it, my brethren? If someone says he has faith, but has no works, can that faith save him? In other words, you prayed a prayer to Jesus, but there's no evidence that you've truly been regenerated. No works to show it. Can that type of faith really save a person? What's the answer? No, because that person never truly was regenerated. How do you know? There are no works to show the evidence that that person has been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, right? James goes on to say, verse 15, let me give an example. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you who claims to be a born-again believer says to them, sorry, can't help you, but go in peace. Be warmed and be filled. And you do not give them what is necessary for their body? James goes, what use is that? Is that how a true born-again believer is going to respond? No. Verse 17, even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. He's not talking about faith plus works to be saved. He's talking about a person who's been already saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And the evidence that that person has been saved by God's sovereign saving grace are the works that follow. Do you see the order? It's grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the first step, where a person is justified. Works, fruit of the Spirit, will naturally follow, giving evidence of that which is the true reality. But if there are no works that follow, if there is no fruit of the Spirit, hello, if there's no fruit, we've got a problem with the root. That person's never been saved, right? James, again, is not talking about earning your salvation through a combination of faith in Christ plus your good works. Because, again, verse 10, he says, you can't do it. If you stumble just in one area, you're guilty of everything. James was addressing easy believism. And again, he says, you say you're born again. Great. And you see a brother or sister in need. And you have the means to be able to help that brother or sister, but you don't. You callously, with a hard heart and a tight fist, say to the brother or sister, well, go in peace. Hope you're okay. James goes, is that what a true born-again believer does? No. Your faith is useless because your attitude and lack of action gives evidence of what's inside of you. And it's not the Holy Spirit. You're still dead in your sins and trespasses. Do you see it? He goes on to say, verse 18, someone may well say, well, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, James says. Again, James is a great example. Prior to Christ's death and resurrection, James, half-brother of Jesus, did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. We know from Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, that after our Lord was raised from the dead, he actually made an appearance to James. James saw Christ, the resurrected Christ. Well, James and his other brothers, like Jude, ended up repenting of their sins and placing their faith and trust in Christ alone. How do we know that? Look at the evidence of James and his changed life. In fact, just over in chapter 1, verse 1, look what he says about himself. He introduces himself to those to whom he is writing by saying, James, a bondservant, a bond slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what he's calling himself? By the way, notice he's not boasting and bragging, saying, hey, this is James, half-brother of Jesus. You better stand at attention. I'm writing to you. No. Do you see his humility? And do you see his submission to the Lord Jesus Christ? Giving evidence that he was truly saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Again, the evidence? I'm a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was pointing people to Christ, not to himself. The old James, the non-believer James, thought Jesus was crazy, did not believe in Jesus, was not saved. And the evidence of that? There was no works, no fruit of the Spirit. Why? Because he hadn't been regenerated by the Spirit. But then fast forward, after Christ had been raised from the dead and Christ appeared to James, new man. Why? New creation in Christ. And the evidence? I'm James. I'm a bondslave of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it? And so back to our text in James chapter 2, he says to the people who were caught up in this easy believism, verse 18, you have faith, James says, and I have works. Show me your faith, he said to them, without works, without evidence that you've truly been saved. And he says, I'll show you my faith, that I've been truly saved by my works, not by my works to earn my salvation, but my works which give evidence that I have been saved. Do you see it? Because he goes on to say, verse 19, he said to these people caught up in easy believism, oh, you believe that God is one. Great, he says. You do well because the demons also believe that and shudder. Did the demons believe in Jesus Christ as the Holy One, as the Messiah? Absolutely. Think about as we, you know, studying through the Gospels, when Jesus would show up and a person or people were demon-possessed, the demons involuntarily were exposed. Demons don't want to be exposed. They want to just hide in darkness and do what demons do, deceive. But in the presence of the Holy One, they could not help but be exposed. And think about how many times they would declare about Jesus. We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Please don't torment us. They knew who Jesus was. They believed in Jesus. They knew that he was the Son of God. Think about it. Before they were fallen angels, they first were holy angels. What do you think they were doing? They were worshiping the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven. They ended up disobeying God. They followed Satan. They became fallen angels, demons, unholy angels. And again, as we go through the Gospels, they clearly profess the deity of Christ. We know who you are, but of course they did. But what was the difference? Did they repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in Christ alone to be their Lord and Savior? Absolutely not. That's what James is saying here. Even the demons believe in who Jesus is. But what's missing? No works to give evidence that they had truly been regenerated. But of course, Christ didn't come to save demons. He came to save sinners like you and me. So James here is rebuking easy believism. Again, verse 19, you believe that God is one? Great. You do well, because the demons also believe it and shudder. Verse 20, but are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? But of course, you say a prayer to Jesus, check, I'm saved, but there's no evidence in any works or fruit of the Spirit. James says your supposed faith is useless. Because it's not true saving faith, right? Again, work, you're not saved by your works, but your works give evidence as to whether or not you have been saved, right? He goes on to say, verse 21, let's talk about Abraham. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. Kind of sounds like James is saying that Abraham was saved by good works, right? No. Would you please write down, next to verse 21, Genesis 22? Because again, in verse 21 here, he's describing what happened in Genesis 22. When Abraham obeyed God and was going to offer his son, his only son, and his son whom he loved, he was going to offer his son up on the altar. That happened in Genesis 22. Repeat after me. Genesis 22. Can you say it one more time? Genesis what? 22. And then James goes on to say in verse 23, the scripture was fulfilled which says, and Abraham what? Believed God, and it was reckoned to him, counted to him, credited to him, imputed to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Would you do me a favor? And right next to verse 23, would you write Genesis 15? You can even put the verse, verse 6. Repeat after me. Verse 23 is Genesis 15, 6. Verse 23 is Genesis what? 15:6 he's referring to. In verse 21, when Abraham was willing to offer up his son on the altar, which chapter of Genesis was that? Genesis 22. Good. Over in verse 23, when James says the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, that's when he was saved. That was Genesis 15. Let me ask you a question. Which came first? Genesis 15, verse 6. He believed God. He believed in the coming Messiah, who he was, and what he would do to save sinners who could not save themselves. Abraham, on this side of the cross, looked forward to the coming of the Messiah. He believed God. By faith, no works. And the result? The righteousness of Christ was credited, imputed to Abraham's account. and he was called a friend of God. That's when Abraham was saved. Not by works, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That happened in Genesis 15:6. The evidence that Abraham had truly been saved was Genesis 22, when in humble obedience and submission to God, he was going to offer up his son Isaac on the altar. Not to earn his salvation, but his obedience gave evidence in Genesis 22 of that which had truly occurred in Genesis 15:6. Do you see the order? This is what James is saying to those who said, hey, I believe, but there's no fruit afterwards. He says, let's use Abraham as an example. Genesis 15:6, he believed God, believed in the upcoming promise, believed by faith. The result, righteousness of Christ imputed to Abraham's account. He was saved. Fast forward to Genesis 22. The evidence that he had been saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, the evidence was, look what he was willing to do in obedience to God. Do you see it? So James here is rebuking this idea of easy believism by giving an example of Abraham, the father of faith. How was he saved? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And there was evidence that he had been saved. Genesis 22, the offering of Isaac. Do you see it? And that's why James goes on to say, verse 24, you see, a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Again, you're justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, but there needs to be evidence that this has happened. Do you see it? So it's all work of God. The evidence is that you're a new creation in Christ. In the same way, verse 25, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Same thing. She had believed in the God of Israel, and the evidence was when the spies came, she willingly hid them, even at the risk of her own life. And that's why James says in verse 26, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith, if there is no evidence of works afterwards, is dead. Think about it in a physical realm. You as parents, the wife delivers the baby. How do you know that that baby was born alive? The baby cries. The baby's moving. The baby gets hungry and thirsty, right? There is evidence after the fact that bears witness that there was an actual physical birth, right? If there's no evidence of life, then that means there was actually no physical birth. It's the same way in the spiritual realm. This is what James is saying here. If there is no evidence after the fact that a person has been born again, born spiritually, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if there's no love of God, love of God's word, hunger for God's word, if there's no willingness to submit to God, obey God, we're not going to do it perfectly, but there's got to be a new desire, a new direction. If there's no desire to worship God, to study the word of God, hello, you've got to start asking the question, was there actually a spiritual birth? Right? That's what James is saying here. And so he is not teaching salvation by faith and works. No. He is writing to an audience who got caught up in easy believism. And James says, really, you think just because believing something that you've heard, you can live the rest of your life the way you want? He goes, great, you believe in Jesus? That's awesome. So do the demons. Are they saved? Will they be saved? No. There needs to be evidence that you've been born again. Again, a person who's born again is given a new heart, a new mind, a new will by God the Holy Spirit. suddenly you have new desires. You want to worship God. You want to study the Word of God. You want to live for God. You want to adore God. You want to obey God and submit to God. Your life is radically changed by grace. You've been born again. Before, you were dead in the spiritual realm. You had no desire for God. You had no desire for the Word of God because you were dead to God. But a person who's been made alive to God, the evidence, as James says, there's going to be works, fruit that bear witness that a person has been born again. So let me ask all of you as I close, now that you understand that James was not teaching salvation by faith plus works, let me ask all of you, have you truly repented of your sins? Have you truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be your Lord, to be your Savior? Do you believe that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, that you do not contribute to your salvation in any way? It is all a work of God's sovereign grace. Do you believe that? And if so, do you see evidence that you're a new creation in Christ? Do you desire to worship the Lord? Do you desire to study the Word of the Lord? Do you desire to live for the Lord, obey the Lord, submit to the Lord, and to love and help the people of the Lord? Do you have that desire? Do you have the desire to tell non-believers about the Lord and His saving grace? If you see that evidence, those works, my friend, that means that you have been saved. You're a new creation in Christ. Praise God. But if there's no evidence, borrowing from the words of James, for just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.